This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. You know, GoDaddy has everything you need to put your business out there and kick ass online. So get started by registering a domain name and creating your website with GoDaddy's easy-to-use website builder. Already have a site? Well, keep it running fast with GoDaddy's web hosting. All right, you guys, let's do this thing. Visit GoDaddy.com, enter the promo code STORY32, and save 32% on new purchases. Some limitations apply. See website for details. And remember, enter the promo code STORY32 and you are supporting Storyworthy. Thank you.
Hey, this is Aaron Kleiber. I am on Storyworthy this week. Listen, please.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannah Spinney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannah Spinney, and we're coming to you from the Pittsburgh Comic-Con at the Monroeville Convention Center. Yes.
Awesome. Wow, that's great, Hannes.
We are coming there because, for one thing, our topic today is nerds.
Nerds. And sometimes when you think Comic-Con, you would think nerds. Is that what you're saying?
I would think nerds.
But this isn't Comic-Con. This is what?
This is the Pittsburgh Comic-Con.
Oh, right.
Not the famous Comic-Con in San Diego. I decided since our guest is also from the Pittsburgh area, as you are, we would go with the Pittsburgh Comic-Con. I mean, here we are. We're physically here right now.
Why are you being so nice? Did you break something? Did you do something?
No. I just had to go to the bathroom and I'm feeling lighter on my feet.
I see. Because usually you're not so giving in the Pittsburgh direction.
Well, I'm willing to give a little bit because we already, he can't be in Wisconsin every day.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. Aaron Kleiber. Aaron Kleiber is our guest tonight, and he is from Pittsburgh, which I didn't know that. I knew about him, and it wasn't until I looked into him that I realized, wait a minute, this guy was like voted Pittsburgh Magazine Comedian of the Year.
What?
Recently. 2012 and 2013.
What have you done for me lately? 2014. I don't give a shit about last year.
I haven't been in Pittsburgh in a while, so I didn't know this.
You
were
unfamiliar with
him. Yeah, I was unfamiliar, but I do know he's friends with my buddy Jim Cran.
Sure.
And so it's all coming
together.
There's
only five people in Pittsburgh, so anybody you know is probably going to be degrees of separation.
Aaron brings forth the topic nerds.
Nerds.
And it's really funny because nerds obviously mean something very different than it used to mean.
It used to be strictly an insult.
Well, the first documented appearance of the word nerd as was the name of a creature in a Dr. Seuss book, If I Ran the Zoo, which came out in 1950.
Wow.
And
can I just say there's nothing nerdier than knowing the first appearance of the word nerd?
I do my homework, man. I'm not fucking around. I'm not going to come in here and say, now what do we talk about? You know what I mean? There is a theme, there is a topic, there is a format. That's this podcast.
Nerds.
That's what we do. Anyway, so in that book, If I Ran the Zoo, the narrator, Gerald McGrew, claims that he would collect a Nurkle, a nerd, and a seersucker, too. For his imaginary zoo. That was his. Huh. That was the line. And then it was popularized in 1970s on the show Happy Days, as you probably know.
Yes. I recall that.
Sit on it was another term, but that didn't really catch on, did it?
So that was anachronistic because it was not. That show was set in the 50s when people did not say nerd. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. That's good, Hannes.
They went sort of backwards around through time.
Oh, no. Dr. Seuss's book came out in 1950.
But did people call each other nerds in the 50s?
Probably not. Probably not. Interesting. It reminds me of the movie Titanic, in which Leonardo DiCaprio says when they're in England and he's on the dock, he's looking to get a ticket, you know, some sort of to get on the ship.
Yeah.
And he says to someone, "Bummer, man." And I thought to myself, I don't believe they said Bummer Man back then. But
I know.
perhaps I'm wrong.
So far down the list of things I can't stand about Titanic.
Nerds can either be described by their hobbies and their interests or by abstract qualities like their personality, their status, their social skills, and their physical appearance. So that was kind of how it was broken down to back then. You know what I mean? So it was like nerdy interests were like intellectual or academic, or the people were really into a certain hobby or something they certainly do. But now it's just full blown out of the water, and nerd no longer equates to something negative at all. In fact, it equates to somebody quite cool and quite
yeah, because all these people who were considered nerds have become, you know, multimillionaires, or they are nerd culture, I believe, is
right.
the phrase I keep hearing, where it's like people didn't used to normal people, the average person didn't give a shit about superhero movies. In the past, nobody was like, I can't believe they haven't made a good Captain America movie yet, except for like 12 guys living in their mom's basement. Now, they're actively like, why don't we have an Ant-Man movie yet? Like, this is the most natural thing in the world. How come there's no Ant-Man movie?
And there's going to be. Of course, there should be.
Yes, and there is one coming. You know who Ant-Man is?
No, tell me.
Paul Rudd.
Is that right?
You know who his father is? Michael Douglas.
Wow, no, I didn't know that. Interesting. I don't,
and that's, and that, that, what I read somewhere on some website. That's as much as I know about Ant-Man.
Michael Douglas is looking good. It's interesting. He was really handsome. Then he took a turn and got like almost like a late stage lung cancer victim.
Yeah.
Now he's back. He's a handsome man.
Well, I remember when he got a facelift. This is probably 10 years ago, and he had that freaky look that they made fun of in the Liberace movie.
Yeah, it didn't work for a while.
It settled in. It's like, okay, now you look good again. For a while, he was a freak.
So now the word nerd is in the vernacular, and of course, Chris Hardwick came out with the Nerdist Industries, and under that one, you know, just under his
umbrella.
That one podcast, one under his umbrella, right? There's all sorts of nerd related podcasts, and I was looking up some different nerd podcasts. Now these aren't all Nerdist Industries by any means,
right,
but these
right.
are just some of the podcasts out there that have to do with nerds. For instance, Nerds on History, Nerd Poker, Nerds on Film, of course,
sure.
Comedy Film Nerds.
Right.
A lot of nerds and film go together. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Nerd Parents. There's Nerd of Mouth. Nerd Wars. Fish Nerds, which is all about aquariums.
Oh, that's funny.
I enjoy aquariums, as you know.
Yeah, but you would not qualify as a fish nerd.
I'm not a fish nerd because I only have six fish.
And your fish all die. Yeah.
They die all the time. It's so goddamn sad. I have the test kit. The pH is good. But for some reason, the fish just don't want to stay in my tank. So now I have like five lazy grommies and a catfish that doesn't even walk. We
like
also have
catfish.
The Disney Nerds podcast.
Oh, that sounds about
right. That
sounds
like a nightmare.
I work with a lot of Disney nerds at the old theme park. It's like people are obsessed with...
Our friend Caroline is obsessed
yeah, just,
with Disney.
But obscure...
Minute detail.
Like a character that appeared in one cartoon in 1945
right.
and
or,
never appeared
or
again.
Or the color of Alice's dress in Alice in Wonderland was only that one shade of blue in that one screen. And then it changed and it was a different shade of blue.
Yeah.
It gets
yeah.
very specific. How about this podcast? Gay Sci-Fi Nerds with Skip and Drew.
Hang on, let me write that down. I like that. Gay Sci-Fi Nerds.
With Skip and Drew. How about Chronicles of the Nerds? Geeks versus Nerds. What is the difference anyway, Hannes?
That is true. I've heard that there is a difference between geeks and nerds. I think geeks are supposed to be more socially inept.
Right, and nerds are more authority,
are more,
I'm telling you.
Intellectual.
But look at Dork Forest. Is that another word as well? Nerd, dork.
Dork, right, right. Well, you look at The Big Bang Theory. That's a show completely populated by nerds.
Right, interesting. And it used to be derogatory, like in Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
That was when us
nerds decided to take back the N-word, inspired by our black brethren taking back their N-word.
I see,
Revenge of the Nerds.
That was
where
when
we came
turned.
Back. Yes, yes.
All right. Well,
I can say nerd. You can't, man. And then he punches you in the face.
Are you a nerd for anything, do you think, Hans?
Oh, I'm pretty nerdy. I'm nerdy for old Hollywood. That's
you are nerdy
good.
For old Hollywood.
And I'm nerdy. You know what? The nerdiest thing I probably do, it's relatively obscure, is a character called Doc Savage. This is not gay fan fiction. But I'm getting a thumbs up from Aaron here. Yes, Doc Savage was a character in the 30s and 40s in pulp magazines like The Shadow, where they would, you know, and it wasn't cartoon. I mean, I guess there were comics of it, but it was like they republished all these in the 70s and 80s when I was, you know, a kid, and I read them, but it's not that famous. It's semi-famous, but you have to be pretty nerdy to even have ever heard of Doc Savage.
Yeah, I don't know it.
And it's like, yeah, you have no, like The Shadow, you have some vague idea who The Shadow is.
I have a shadowy
you know
there's idea.
There's a character of The Shadow, and you're like, I kind of know who that is. Doc Savage, you have no idea.
No, I don't. Okay, so you know that. So that means you're a nerd for that?
I'm only a nerd for very specific, Like, I'm like a nerd for Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett, but I'm not a nerd for a lot of other mystery writers.
Right.
I get very specific.
People.
I'm a little weird.
Yeah. I'm nerdy for maybe just Neil Young. Maybe that's it, though. Like, I don't really think I'm nerdy for anything. I like baking, but I'm not nerdy at baking.
Well, yeah, you know a lot about Neil Young. That might be a high nerd content
there.
That could
be. That could be. But that's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Dave's not here, man. Yeah,
it's a very nerdy quality to think your nerd thing is cool.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Yes, you know what? You just hit it right on
the
head.
Thank you.
That's what it is like to be convinced that other people are crazy for not, like people like Neil Young, they're not going to go, but you have like a Neil Young cover that was signed by somebody else and given to you that you were nowhere near and you've never met Neil Young, but that you don't care about that.
Of course I don't care about that. I have his signature in a goddamn album.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
But you don't even know that it's his signature.
Come on now. You think T'Shawn Shannon did not give me an authentic signature of Neil Young?
I think he did.
He
but
met him on the set of Saturday Night Live. He gave it to his brother Charlie. It's written to Charlie. That's my buddy. He
okay.
passed away. I get the album.
Wow.
That's how it trickled down.
Wow. You just did he pass away or did you kill him for the album? Is that what happened?
Ladies and gentlemen, but before we bring on our storyteller,
yes,
I did want to mention, folks, if you'd like to support Storyworthy, there are several ways you can do that. Number one.
Amazon.com.
That's it. It's on our website, storyworthypodcast.com. You shop normally on Amazon, so before you do that, head on over to storyworthypodcast.com first, click on the banner ad, shop normally. We get a taste of that. That's the first thing you
or
can do.
Or the direct route, you go to storyworthypodcast.com, you just click on our sustainer, you can give us $5 or $8 or $10 a month
as a yeah
you
as
won't
a donation.
Even notice it as a donation. We would really appreciate it. We're entertaining you. Are you not entertained?
That's right. $1 a show would be very helpful. And also, folks, you can email us. The email address is info@storyworthypodcast.com. And of course, you can hear us on Stitcher Radio. We do enjoy the folks at Stitcher.
Exactly. And you can also, you know, we have Twitter Story Storyworthy at Facebook.
Let me ask you something. We got over 100,000 followers on SoundCloud.
Yes.
On Facebook, I got like 3,000 friends, but only 1,000 likes on the Facebook page. So what's that all about?
You bastards.
What kind of numbers are we running, people?
I think that that is directly related not to us, but to Facebook itself. Because now people invite you. I have invitations to like literally 150 pages. That like, and that no longer comes up as like a special thing. Like you were invited to see this page. It's like if you don't go looking for the invites, you're never going to find them. So when we invite people,
but also, what's the difference? Who cares, man? Really, who cares? I mean, I got my Facebook account. You got yours. I think we got the
right.
Facebook
and we
cover.
Have these friends, and they're
maybe
not really
they're
your friends.
I don't, you know,
you've never
it's
met
very
many
vague.
Of these people.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, please stay tuned because Aaron Kleiber is on his way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have writer-comedian Jennifer Valley.
And I'll be talking about my lesbian summer.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hey, it's Jim Cran from Jim Cran No Restrictions Podcast, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the Monroeville Convention Center and traveled to Christine's girlhood home in Gibsonia.
In Gibsonia, PA.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we could have taken the Squirrel Hill tunnels and gone over to my old apartment in Shadyside.
Oh, yeah? Oh, wait, I can't do
they
a Pittsburgh accent.
They don't talk like that in
That's
Pittsburgh.
Right. How do
That's
they talk again?
They talk like this and that. They talk... It's like, come over to my house and at. It's the same
and that,
as
and that. That's
it's the same
thing.
As English, but it's very lazy and at.
It's not like English at
it's
all.
Like, call your brother. Does your father know you talk to your brother like that and at?
Yeah, we got six rings. Yeah.
No, nobody says yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Kleiber is here right now. Check this out, Hannes. He was named the best local comedian in 2012 and 2013 by Pittsburgh Magazine, which might not seem like a big deal, but it's a pretty big fucking deal.
It's not like Monroeville Magazine.
No, it isn't the Monroeville Times.
This is Pittsburgh
Times.
Magazine.
This is the full-on city of 300,000 people.
Well, the metro, I'm sure, is like 310,000.
Well, let's not talk about the Pittsburgh trolley because it only goes about a mile and a half. and not really to anywhere that you need to go. That being said, I used to
take it. Like Angel's Flight here in L.A. You go up and you come down and you're done.
The thing with the trolley in Pittsburgh is some of it's underground and some of it is above ground. So I think it's called like a T-leveler.
Okay. This may be the nerdiest thing we've said all day. It's like you're talking about trains in Pittsburgh.
Okay, check this out. You may have seen Aaron on Gotham Comedy Live. He had a great set on there, Hannes, that you can see on his website that I watched. Very, very funny. And you can also catch him on the Stand Up and Deliver show that is going to be premiering in April of this year, 2014. Aaron is also on Twitter, of course, and you can follow him there, at Aaron Kleiber. That's A-A-R-O-N-K-L-E-I-B-E-R. And wherever you are, folks, please put your hands together for Aaron Kleiber.
Why, hello, friends. Hi, good to see you. So, I wanted to tell the story about something that happened that I went to a nerd convention, and I was there because I was part of an independent film called A Great Disturbance, and A Great Disturbance really was just we played actors, but we were real people in the actual Star Wars convention, and it was kind of like Borat before Borat, you know what I mean? So I played like a Star Wars nerd, and I interacted with other real Star Wars nerds, and we filmed it. And story just kind of happened. And we didn't really plan a lot of it. So it was a lot of, you know, walking around with a camera, improvising for 10 hours. So we did this A Great Disturbance film, and Star Wars fans really liked it. It was kind of, you know, we were nerds, and we were kind of making fun of ourselves while also making fun of other nerds in the process. But so this is A Great Disturbance film. It got like a cool little following, you know, at like Comic Cons and nerd conventions and gaming conventions. And we went to an unnamed Midwest convention. There's going to be a couple unnamed things here. Okay. we went to a convention, and we were like, you know, VIP guests, and we showed the film and did the Q&A. And, you know, we're nerd celebrities because they're like, oh, whoa, they're like, you know, they're like us, but they're like on screen and they're cool. I don't know how that works, but these guys, at the end of the convention, they throw a party, okay? And they have an organization that runs this party, this end of the week convention party. And they said, we got a whole second floor of the hotel for this party. A huge VIP party. You guys, you know, can do whatever you want. It usually costs $50 a cup to get in. Yeah, I mean, it's we're like, okay, guys. Because these are all guys in, like, black jeans and wizard shirts and, like, all in cosplay. I mean, they're nerds. I mean, they're 40-year-old dads, you know. And, I mean, and 20-year-old, you know, guys that, you know, are going to be 40-year-old men living in their grandma's basement, you know. So myself and one of the other members of A Great Disturbance that will remain unnamed, because I'm the one that's telling this story, so I don't want to get anybody else in trouble. And also with us, we were rolling with Darth Maul, Ray Park. He was Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. And we would hang out with him because he was fun. He was just like do flips over tables for no reason. And I don't think he'll hear this or he even remembers me. He was drunk a lot. He's an Australian. He was a good time. He was really fun. So we go to this VIP party at the end of the week, and we go up and they give us two cups. We didn't have to pay. We're on the VIP list. This is great. And this place, it really is the entire second floor of a hotel. It is banging. I mean, I felt like I walked into Studio 54. I mean, it's in the hallways. There are two convention halls across from all these suites, and one is filled with just food and beverages and a DJ. The other one is just a rave room with a DJ. And it is nuts. And there are nerds running around everywhere in costumes. I mean, I was like, where was this all week? It's insane. Well, the guy that organizes the thing is actually a George Lucas lookalike. Yeah, I mean, they call him George. And he was like, fellas, you guys are our guests. We love you guys. Make sure you hit up all these party suites. And they had like five suites lined up. Yeah, five suites lined up down the hallway. And each one was just empty of all the furniture and decorated in different like nerd themes. So like one looked like you were on Mars. Like they really decorated it with like set pieces. It was nuts. It looked like a little like it was like a Saturday Night Live set, you know, where it was like kind of quick backdrop, boom, boom, you know, and some props. And then it was like one was a spaceship and one was like Tatooine, the desert planet, you know, from Star Wars. It's crazy. And each one had bartenders, hot chick bartenders in each one that were dressed in that theme. And I'm like, what? This is nuts. This is crazy, right? And, you know, Darth Maul wants to get crazy. And our other friend with us, you know, we're like, okay, let's check this out. Well, George Lucas, the George Lucas lookalike, we'll just refer to him as George B., He says, you guys, look, we got a VIP special room in the middle. Okay, you guys are totally invited. There's only about 15 people invited in this room. And we're like, all right, cool. He's like, come, you got to come because the slave auction's about to start. And I was like, we were like, what? And of course, Darth Maul is like, all right, let's do that. Like, he's just ready to go, just drunk Australian. And we're like, okay. So we go to this door. And it says on the door, XXX. Now, I'm a pretty conservative guy. I don't even like strip clubs. I don't know what's going to happen in here, okay? So we have our cups. We go into the room, and George, a.k.a. George, is in there. And he's like, make sure you guys get a drink. We have a special drink here, guys. And he fills up our cups, and it's just some, like, punchy, like, you know, drink. And we're like, all right, whatever. It's got alcohol in it. Oh, cool. So we're pounding down these drinks. They start the slave auction. This is where there's about a dozen dudes in the room, including Darth Maul. And one by one, there's about five or six ladies that come out and do a strip routine. And they're all in cosplay. They're all like, one chick is painted blue, one chick is painted green, one chick is Princess Leia. And they're all doing their little routines. Well, while this is going on, the nerds in the room, apparently these are the high rolling nerds. I couldn't tell because they're still all in black jeans and wizard shirts, okay? Like, you don't know who's like a high roller nerd because they all look alike. They just all have beards and black jeans and, you know, they start bidding on them, like yelling out numbers. And for a second, I'm thinking like, what's going on? Like, they're really like throwing up. One girl, Princess Leia, Slave Leia, went for $1,200, okay? And at this point, I'm feeling a little crazy, okay? And I'm thinking, like, what are we drinking? And it's this special drink, and everybody's talking about, like, oh, you got to get this drink, you got to get this drink. We're like, we don't know what it is. We down a few, right? Because we got two cups. We down a few. The slave auction's going on. Turns out they're escorts dressed in cosplay. Like, this is going down. Like, we're like, what is happening? And then the dude that won, yeah, I know, this is insane. We were like, okay, cosplay stripping. This is fun. I won't tell my wife until she hears it on Storyworthy. But then they were like, stick around for the after show, man. Like, this dude's totally cool with it. And we're like, what? They begin to engage in front of the room of nerds in sexual activity. And like, we were like, Darth Maul's totally cool with it. He's chilling. But we're like, we're out. Me and my Great Disturbance friend, we're like, oh, I gotta go. I do not want to watch some 40-year-old fat nerd have sex with some Princess Leia. Like, this is, as much as my 13-year-old boy in me want to be like, I've always wanted to see this my whole life, I just didn't want to do it. I'm a moral guy. I have a wife. There's a limit to what I want to be in person doing. So at this point, we feel pretty crazy because we're down in these drinks that were in this VIP room, right? So we go out, and I'm like, I look at my friend, and I'm like, now Darth Maul, he's gone. He's still in the slave auction room. And I'm like, I feel crazy. And my friend's like, yeah, me too. Like, I feel nuts. Like, did we drink too much? And I was like, dude, I had like two or three. Before I know it, we're in the convention hall where the DJ's at. Okay, this is where it gets blurry. It's about 2 a.m. Okay, I think I downed another one of these special drinks, okay? And here's what I remember. I remember dancing with my shirt off wearing Hulk hands. I remember being in the DJ booth rapping along to Snoop Dogg and also screaming, today was a good day, I'm AK, because my name's Aaron Kleiber. Now, the next morning, we had to be at a question and answer panel at like 8:30 in the morning, okay? I wake up at 6 a.m. with my friend. We were sharing a hotel room. There's another couple in our room. They're half naked. And there's this girl walking around like they're sleeping on our floor. And we're like, what is happening? We got to go to our Q&A. We go to our Q&A and we see George, the George Lucas lookalike. Yeah. And we are obliterated, right? Like, I can't explain to you how I felt. It felt like you'll see. So he goes like, oh, man, you guys know how to party. He was like, Kleiber, you were DJing for like an hour. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, with your shirt off. It was crazy. And I was like, yeah, what did we drink last night? And he was like, oh, you mean Captain Kirk? I was like, yeah, what's Captain Kirk? He's like, oh, well, you know how Captain Kirk like puts a spell on all the ladies? And we were like, yeah. He was like, that's what we call it. It's absinthe, yeah, slice and ecstasy. That's what was in it. We had a Gatorade cooler of absinthe, ecstasy, and like slice, lemon lime like soda. Absinthe and ecstasy mixed in lemon lime soda. That's why I was DJing with my shirt off wearing Hulk hands. Nerds know how to party.
Wait, Aaron, you have to tell us, where was this? You can tell us a state.
Somewhere it was in Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis, yeah. Indiana. So yeah. They have quite a party there. Is that every year?
Yeah. They have this convention every year. It's a big one. Yeah.
Apparently.
It's a big one,
I mean, if you have a slave auction, I think you're in.
I don't think it was part of the convention.
Was that girl's name Princess Leia?
I wish. I don't remember any names.
Here's my question about that. I mean, okay, yes, the 13-year-old always wanted to watch Princess Leia in the gold bikini have sex. But if they had hired a Han Solo, a Harrison Ford lookalike, you might have still watched it. But watching some fat, pimply nerd have sex with her,
you do have a good point.
These people weren't white, pimply, overweight. I mean, what do you say?
No, rollers, they all looked the same.
These high rollers, they were dorks.
But even just because of the black jeans and the wizard shirts or in other ways?
No, they were like nerdy.
They're big
nerdy
guys. They have beards.
Like, you know when you have the guys that are like confident with the ladies and like, you know, they weren't this.
I see. They weren't like bears or strong, confident. Right.
No, they weren't like, yeah, like, hey, how you doing? Back home, I own a law firm.
Right.
But here, I'm going to nerd out. No, these were dudes.
These are guys who don't spend their money generally on dating so they could splurge it on a slave.
I guess so.
It's a lot of money.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I wonder how much time they got to spend with a slave.
I didn't stay. I don't know.
I'm thinking these guys were not long lasters, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
What was the hotel? This is also interesting, because if it was a Ramada, I'm going to be bummed out.
No, it was a big hotel.
Tell me it was like an Omni.
It was a big hotel.
Was it a nice hotel?
Yeah, it was decent.
I'm glad. Did they have a breakfast bar?
I don't remember.
Did they have that thing where you make a waffle in your own? For the first time ever, have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's a hot waffle iron.
Oh, yeah, dude.
In your room?
No, in the lobby.
Oh, I'm a road comedian. I know all about hot waffles in the lobby. Yeah.
I had never seen this before, but I'm how are people just not shoving their hand into this waffle iron every day?
It's a waffle iron. You're not a child.
It's like an industrial press.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I understand. Okay.
La Quinta always has a nice
La Quinta, that's where I was. In La Quinta somewhere.
I very much appreciate, or the Marriott guest suites or something they're called. I love when they have that breakfast in the lobby that you know you'll get something hot, or you could just have yogurt and a banana and a cup of coffee, and then you can just take it back to your room.
It's the Midwestern guy in me. I'm like, I need to make money on this. I'm going to eat so much, I'm going to fill my pockets with boxes of Raisin Bran.
That's my brother.
I
steal fruit.
You, Aaron, fuckers are going to pay for this.
Do you?
Come on.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'm ghetto too.
I've definitely taken an apple and an orange for the road.
I grew up poor. I will take anything I can.
Where in Pittsburgh did you grow up?
I grew up in Homestead.
In Homestead. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I grew up in
the projects.
No, but I grew up in that way too, where you want to kind of take what you can and whatever is for free.
Yeah.
And my mother takes this to an extreme. One time we were going, we were in Washington, D.C., yeah. and we were taking a tour of the White House. Okay. A tour of the White House in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
I love it. As we're waiting in line before you go through security at the White House, there are some big conference rooms to your right and to your left. My mother sees a tray of pastries and coffee things that had not been eaten from that morning's meeting or whatever.
Right.
She leaves me and my sisters. She goes into this conference room. She fucking stuffs a Danish into her purse.
Fair game.
Now, it's time to go through security at the White House. And who has to unload everything in their purse because she beeps? My mother. So now she has to take the Danish out of her purse that she just stole with the White House emblem on the napkin.
Nice.
It's so goddamn embarrassing.
I love it.
Is that a Pittsburgh thing? No, that's the middle of the country.
Yeah, that's a thing where, like, you grew up, you didn't have much, and you see an opportunity to get a little something. I mean, that's the way I see it.
It's like, okay, I did some sketches on the Tonight Show, the soon-to-be gone Jay Leno Tonight Show. And it's like the first time I ever went, I had my name on a dressing room. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. And they must have thought there were going to be 10 people or something, because they put out, it's only happened once. There was like the spread. There was like a Danish thing and a thing. And I'm like, I'm not even hungry, but this is free NBC Danish.
Yes, right?
I gotta you know, the Danish. I got to.
You know the silliest thing that I take is like, I open for a couple big guys, and I've opened for like, you know, Sinbad, mm-hmm. and I tour with Bob Saget a little bit. So when we do theaters, they always give you a black towel, okay? They give you a black towel
in your dressing room.
Yeah, I've never heard of this. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, they leave a black towel in your dressing room in case you're sweaty on stage, right?
Right.
So
black because if you take it on stage with you, got it.
Yeah, right. Okay. I guess, you know,
whatever.
It's just a weird thing when you're at theaters and they treat you nice, they leave a black towel. Like, you can dab off your sweat. So I remember the first time I did it, I opened, you know, for Sinbad at Carnegie Music Hall, and there was a black towel, and I was like, oh, where do you want me to do with this sweaty towel? And they're like, oh, you can keep it. And I was like, what? I can keep the black towel? So, like, I've done, like, a bunch of colleges and theaters with Saget. I have, like, 7 black towels.
Aaron, that is so funny.
And now I'm like, what am I going to... My wife's like, what do you do with all these black towels, Darth Vader?
Yeah, usually you should have a white towel anyway for the gym or something.
Yeah,
that would be more appropriate.
But now I use the black towels.
So when you were at this this nerd convention, what year was this?
This was, I will say, probably about 2007, 2008.
So everybody had their phones out, did they not? Or was this before?
No, it was right before people were snapping, yeah.
Because now you can't get away with anything without people taking a video of it.
Oh, this would have been, I would have probably looked at my Instagram the next morning and would have been like, holy shit.
Yeah. Anytime you wake up in a hotel room and there's people in that room you don't know, that's been a party.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I didn't, you know, have to go get a sex kit done at a hospital or anything like that. So I felt like nothing crazy happened.
Did you leave those people in your room when you left?
All straight up. Yes, we did.
But I mean, it's like, you know, I would have thought, like, they're already there. So if they wanted to rob you, they could have already. But it's like, we like, so let's go, guys.
I think in hindsight, I think we realized that we knew them. Like, they all were like running a table in the convention. Like, they were, you know, they owned like a table or were like selling something, or we knew them or something. Or didn't realize that till later on.
Christine, I have a nerd question for you. Do you have any idea who Darth Maul is?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I just kept
passing
your
face.
It was passing over me, right?
I actually do know who that is.
I'm not a big Star Wars fan,
I'll tell you that right now. It's not my... I like Star Trek. Star Wars doesn't do it for me. But Darth Maul was the villain in the
Phantom Menace.
He had the prequel.
The red and black makeup with the dual-sided lightsaber. I'm a huge dork.
You are. Yeah. So you would. Now, what do you consider a nerd now or a dork?
Like, I was really nerdy. See, it was weird because, like, I grew up in, like, a tougher neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had to put on that toughness. But I was a movie nerd growing up. Like, I was a huge movie nerd. I was a comic book nerd. And then I got into, like, I was playing sports and, like, hanging out with, like, all my, like, gangster friends. But then I started joining drama for chicks. you know? And then I started making videos. So I was like getting into being a drama nerd, but I was like trying to be the cool guy too.
That good, but I hear what you're saying. It's interesting in Pittsburgh, there were, at least when I grew up, the sports so dominated that whole town.
Yeah, you I played ice hockey my whole life.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so you're a big Penguins fan.
Of course.
And you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been on Jimmy Crenn's podcast.
Yeah.
No Restrictions.
Yep.
There are restrictions on that show.
I guess so.
For instance, you have to wear clothes.
Yeah, that is, I think I've heard that.
I've heard that.
Because I got kicked out of one time.
But do you think, what do you mean? What happened there?
I was nude. I made a joke. I'm terrible at jokes. Okay,
you better not be. You're a comedian. That's your job.
Yeah, I know.
Worst response for a comedian ever. What do you mean?
You have a couple of kids now. What's it like going on the road?
I mean, it's good. It's, you know, I feel like I see my kids more than most 9-to-5 dads.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm away, you know, I'm away for maybe 3 days, 4 days over the weekend. But I'm with my kids 4 to 5 days
You're
straight.
You're like a pilot. You're like a pilot
all
that
day.
Doesn't
Absolutely.
Leave the ground.
Where I think of some dads, like, I have friends that they work, you know, from 8 in the morning and they get home at 6 o'clock and their kids go to bed at 8. They see their kids for 2 hours a day.
Right.
And I'm you know, I feel really blessed that I can, you know, I spend Monday through Thursday, sometimes Sunday through Thursday, with my kids all day long. Now, my little girl's in elementary school now. She's in kindergarten now. She's in all day. But my son's not in school yet. And, well, he's in preschool. And my wife only, she's a preschool teacher. She only works until noon. So she gets home. My son comes home. We go to lunch. We have lunch dates. You know what I mean? My daughter comes home from school. When I'm home, I drive her to school. I pick her up from school. You know, so I see them all day long.
That's very sweet.
And even if I am at home and I work at night, you know, my kids are going to bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, sometimes as a comedian, you don't even leave the house till 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's something you do that I've enjoyed watching online. You have a thing where you watch movies and you say, I'll watch it for you. So you don't have to watch the movie. I'll do it for you.
Pretty much.
It's pretty funny. And then you go through these clips of very high energy, exaggerating movies and summing them up for people so they don't have to go to the theater
themselves. I just improv a movie. Like, we usually shoot it. It takes me about like 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
I improv a movie in about 15, 20 minutes. And then my writer, director, Dustin Dowling, director, editor, Dustin Dowling, he cuts it down to about 5 to 7 minutes. And I mean, I always tell people, like, he's half the comedy.
Yeah.
Because for him to find all the little clips, I mean, he makes me look 10 times funnier.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, he's incredible.
It's nice you give him some props.
Oh, of course.
Well, a lot of people don't realize how much goes behind, you know, the scene all the time. And listen, do you know the Pittsburgh dad? You know that guy?
He's a very good friend of mine.
Interesting. And how's that working out? We're talking about Pittsburgh Dad, which is a webisode that this guy does, and he acts just like a guy, you know, a father from Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know, Yins, get out of the, you know, get out of
the voice that I can't do. He does that perfectly.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's actually in California and is visiting his sister, and he came and saw me in Ventura last night.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
I'll get him on the show. I got to get him on here.
Yeah, you have to.
I'd love to.
It's funny because I met him 10 years ago when he was in our first film called Captain Blasto. Very nerd film, all available on YouTube. It's about a high school kid that wants to be a superhero and doesn't know how to do that. And he does it.
Yeah.
And fakes it. But he was the villain in it. And we've been friends ever since. I stayed with him in L.A. quite a few times because he moved here since then. He lived here for about 6-7 years. And then he recently moved back to Pittsburgh and started doing Pittsburgh Dad with Chris Prexta, who was the, you know, my buddy who I've made Captain Blasto with and A Great Disturbance.
That's great. It all comes around.
Yeah, we've been friends that long.
I told you there's only five people in Pittsburgh.
Well,
yeah,
Pittsburgh is a small town when it comes
for entertainers
to comedy and entertainers, right?
For guys really that are doing things that
we've
had
Joe Bartnick in recently, and of course, Frank Nicotero.
Yeah, my
big
buddy.
Big friend of the show.
You know, Frank Nicotero was the guy that first put me on stage as a stand-up.
Wow.
He saw me do improv in Pittsburgh, and his dad was in Captain Blasto.
Oh, right. No kidding.
Movie.
Sam, yeah.
Sam Nicotero. And Frank, I was asking Frank about stand-up, and he goes, you should do stand-up. You should
So you had you go down to the Funny Bone on a Tuesday night?
Yeah, no. It was a weekend show he did.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, you should have a good guest set for me. And I was like, I've never done stand-up, Frank. And he was like, you'll be fine. You've done improv acting. You'll be great. And I went and did 5 minutes, and they invited me back the next week. And
you caught the bug.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah, Frank and I have been friends. I've done many shows with him. Yeah, he's a great.
Who is it again? Who ran the brothers who ran the Funny Bone?
Jeff and
the Schneider brothers.
Schneider brothers, because they also opened a Funny Bone in Milwaukee. So I actually know. I've met the Schneider brothers.
Oh, God bless you.
Yes, I've lived to tell the tale. Can I just say one real nerdy thing, because I mentioned Doc Savage?
Yes.
And you lit up like a Christmas tree.
Dude,
over
Doc
there.
Savage is so cool.
Doc Savage is awesome. And how much of fucking Superman is stolen directly from Doc Savage? He was called the Man of Bronze.
Good
Superman
point.
Superman is called Man of Steel. You know what he had? He had a little thing called the Fortress of Solitude in the Arctic.
That's what?
Guess who has exactly the same thing?
Who?
Superman.
This guy knows
what he's talking about.
God damn.
Yep. So Shane Black is supposedly going to make Iron Man 3.
I really like Shane Black a lot. I like the stuff he's written, like Lethal Weapon. And I mean, I really like him.
Yeah. And you know who I think would be perfect casting? The Rock.
I love Dwayne.
When you said that before when I was listening, I was thinking, if they make a Doc Savage movie, who should be? And I thought The Rock.
Yeah,
The Rock
I love
is perfect.
The Rock.
Exactly. Because he's supposed to be bronze, literally.
Absolutely.
He's got the most beautiful skin in the whole world.
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
I love The Rock.
And
Me too.
He's not. See, now if you cast, like, I don't know, Vin Diesel, I'd be like, no, Doc Savage is a genius. Vin Diesel's a moron.
And The Rock can actually act.
Intelligent. Yes, he can actually act. But I also would believe, I'm like, yes, I believe you are
What's
a doctor.
What's his last name again? Dwayne what?
Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson, yeah. Interesting. Hey, Aaron, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yes, please.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Boom. I got growing up. growing up was very interesting because I lived in a bunch of different places when I was growing up. I went through some like abuse in my life. And so I lived in a bunch of different school districts in elementary school. And I landed in Homestead and Munhall Homestead in the projects in Pittsburgh, a suburb of Pittsburgh. And that's where I landed. And so when I was growing up, I went to a pretty diverse high school, and I didn't grow up like that all through elementary school. There wasn't like black kids or anything like that. And it was hard to get along because I was usually like a tough kid because mm-hmm. I was, you know, kind of, you know, reacting outwardly from abuse and stuff like that. And then I realized kids in the ghetto are really tough. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, after a kid punched me and his nickname was Rumpy. Yeah, he was in fifth grade. He already has a nickname, Rumpy. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start making people laugh. That's what I started doing. I just started doing that.
All right.
Awesome.
Hey,
is that good?
Were you in a foster home situation?
No. I had an abusive stepfather.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And so what school did you, just because I know Pittsburgh, was it Shenley High School? Where did you end up going?
No, I grew up at Steel Valley. Steel Valley High School.
Interesting.
Homestead, yeah.
Yeah, so that is a big and rough and tumble kind of a
place.
Yeah,
and it's a huge melting pot, too. I mean, it's just a little bit of everybody.
And is your mom still there?
My mom lives in the city of Pittsburgh now. She's remarried and all that.
And oh, good. Everything's good. Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger sister, yeah.
Is she there in Pittsburgh?
No, she lives in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, in Amish country.
Oh, no kidding.
She's a guidance counselor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
For a high school. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting to move
so
in the middle.
So you're
of...
saying you, a professional comedian, had a negative childhood?
I know, yeah, right? Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
You had something to overcome.
You know, it's funny. I always say that, like, people are like, well, not all comedians like went through something real tough, and I'm like, okay. What about this person here? Oh, they had seven brothers and sisters.
That's exactly
like,
their problem.
It's either I really think it's either like emotional strife
right.
or physical strife
right.
or a huge crazy family.
Right. I'm the youngest
that's
of
it.
Six. I never
yeah, that's it.
I could have been I would have to be on fire
it's
to have
one
gotten
of the
noticed.
Two.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A big family will do it. And I suppose abuse or just because
sure, yeah.
you only have one brother. But again,
right. Well,
a lot
yeah,
of
my brother's schizophrenic and there's all sorts of, you know, wackiness going on.
Sure.
And my mom was from Germany. And even if she'd been normal, she still would have been German. So that
right.
would have been, you know.
Comedy's a great escape, of course.
Absolutely.
It's the best there is, right? It's funny. You were talking about, you said in high school you joined, because actually, come to think of it, I was in the drama club and we had a very great theater program. The only thing in my high school worthwhile was a great theater program with a great
And it kind of saved your
theater.
Life in a way.
And we were called the Drama Nerds.
That's what we were called, Drama Nerds. Yeah.
And or Drama Jocks, which I guess is actually, they call
That's
us that
cool.
too. Which is, like I said, it was a really big program.
In our school, it was like the AV Nerds. You know, the kids in the audiovisual club, they were called the AV Nerds.
Oh, we beat them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't.
I guess the biggest nerds in our school were some of the band kids, but I was friends with a lot of them.
Yeah, like the band. Well, at the time when I was in school, they called them the band fags, which is completely inappropriate. Or the golf queers or something. None of that's appropriate anymore. But at that time, I don't know why. You pick these derogatory names. And now, if you can't say nerd, that doesn't at all mean that they're anything nerdy.
Yeah, nobody cares. Yeah. I mean, they wear it as a
it's authority.
Patch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we got to wrap this up, but I want to thank you so much for coming, Aaron.
Oh, thank you. This is a blast.
I love meeting other Pittsburgh people, and I always know it's going to go well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd also like to thank Anthony Bench here at Sideshow Network for helping us out. And, of course, Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, wherever you are, Roddy. Thank you so much for the use of your facilities.
You're welcome. I don't know why I give him a voice like that. Yeah, see, I'm Roddy Swearingen. See, I'm wearing a fedora.
He's smoking a cigar in his office.
Yes, I got a press pass in my fedora, and I'm ready to go, see?
I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
I do know that, but only because you told me. I met him, and I don't remember anything about him or what he looks like.
He's a rock and roll singer, Hannes. He's out on the road with cowboy mouth, touring the country, working
touring
hard.
The country.
And when he's in L.A., he plays tennis with me.
it's like, he's a rock star, and then he comes and plays tennis.
Nobody plays tennis with me.
It's like the big come down at the end.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Aaron Kleiber, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.